Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation. It's sometimes even the great debate. But it can't be either of those unless you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. Here's the number to dial, 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 44780008066. The best of those will come up here on the comment wall. You can email the show also, comment at presstv.co.uk, or you can tweet us at comment_PressTV. I'm going to press on because I know that many of you will want to get your tuppence worth into this debate, although it's probably worth a lot more than tuppence. It is this: why will the West not cut ties with Saudi Arabia? Well, I could spend the next 60 minutes giving all the reasons, but I don't have time to do that because I want to hear from you. But just the first three or four reasons will probably suffice. But before I give them, I want to make this parenthesis. One day, the West will cut ties with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is making a very grave mistake if it confuses the interest of Western countries in them, and in particular in their money, with love, affection, or respect of any kind. Let me tell them, as someone who spent almost 30 years in the corridors of power in Westminster, a man who's spoken with prime ministers, foreign ministers, and senior diplomats in London and throughout the Arab region, nobody but nobody respects the Saudi regime. In fact, they laugh at them. They laugh at them, except when they are being revolted by them. But that, of course, is not how they behave in public. The Saudi regime will always find members of the British royal family, members of the British government, ready to rush to their side, kiss their noses, at the very least, their noses, in order to go on profiting from them. The West has no interest in the integrity of Saudi Arabia. It cares nothing about the sovereignty of Saudi Arabia. It would be just as happy if Saudi Arabia broke up into several countries, just like other Arab countries are beginning to do. The only interest that the West has in Saudi Arabia is its money. The black gold that God gave them underneath their feet, and what they do with the petrodollars they obtain from the sale of it. Now, I don't have to dwell on what it is that they do. The cleanest use of the petrodollars of the Saudi regime is that they lodge it in Western banks. They buy Western property with it. They shop for Western weapons with it. They, shall I say, gamble some of it away in Western casinos. And there is no vice, there is no wickedness, there is no depth to what the Saudi regime will squander its people's money on. And as long as they squander it in our cities, in our countries, here in the West, we are perfectly happy. Now, the West is growing tired, it's growing skeptical. It looks at ISIS and Al-Qaeda, spawned by the mindset of those who rule Saudi Arabia. At least their public mindset, their private behavior seems to suggest that Wahhabis is the very last thing they are. Salafis is the very last thing that they are. If you're a Wahhabi, if you're a Salafist, you don't behave in the West the way the rulers of Saudi Arabia behave. So why will the West not cut ties? Because it has a puppet regime in control of the world's biggest producer of oil. It has a puppet regime that will endlessly recycle the petrodollars from that energy. And it has a regime that will pay for any madcap scheme that Western regimes come up with. In the 1980s, it was Saudi Arabia that funded what became Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. In 2015, it is Saudi Arabia that is funding Jabhat al-Nusra, the Al-Qaeda franchise in Syria, and people in Saudi Arabia who provided the seed money, the original launch pad money, for what has come to be known as ISIL. They have a pliant puppet regime that rules its people, not in the interests of those people, but in the interests of other people. It has, and this is my last example, though there are many more I could give, it has a Saudi regime that will not lift a finger against the Zionist state, will not give help to those who are lifting a finger to defend and try to rescue the Palestinian people under occupation, under siege, under annexation. It will not pursue a policy which is in any way against the interests, against the wishes of Western powers. And I said lastly, here's lastly, it has a regime that can be used as a cat's paw against other governments, states in the area. But that too is running out of efficacy, because the West, you see, has made a decision to have peace with Iran. And therefore, Saudi Arabia has become a kind of embarrassing elderly relative whose table manners and whose conduct are embarrassing you in front of your smart friends. So increasingly, you'll keep that embarrassing elderly relative on a rocking chair up in the attic, hoping that not too many people will notice. That's why I believe the West have not yet cut ties, but it's also the reason why I believe the West will eventually cut ties with Saudi Arabia. Let's hear from Amal in the United Kingdom to kick the show off this evening. Amal, welcome.
Hello, Church. Good evening.
Good evening.
The reason why the Western countries are turning blind eyes and they are not even mentioning what is happening in Bahrain, in Yemen, in Palestine, is because Saudi Arabia is the easiest one. It's not the money. It's not only about the money, but this time it makes them really laugh from heart. The biggest Muslim country who are followers, 90.9% from the Sunnah Muslim, are going to destroy another Arab country. That means let them finish each other and let them be busy with each other. And Saudi Arabia is doing a just fine job for them. But the days of Saudi are counted. And we know all that. Then secondly, why they are turning blind eyes, George, as you say. You say all the words, what I want to say anyway. It's the free oil and all the huge military, what they put on there for Iran. And they know it. The deal with Iran, I wish it will go, but the Iranians are not dogs like the Saudis. In my eyes, they embarrass Islam, they embarrass the Ummah, and they embarrass everyone. They are the ones who are the reason why Palestine, from Somal, from Saudi, every Muslim country are going to disaster, because they are the ones who celebrated with our enemy. They say don't even make dua for Hezbollah when he was fighting. Don't imam, they say don't even give it dua. Forget about money. And what everything we're to do in the name of the Palestinian makes them stomach sick, Church, about the Saudi Arabian.
Amal, a very, very powerful call. As usual, here is His Royal Highness, the heir to the British throne, dancing with his swords and his friends, and their swords which are never pointed at the Zionist enemy, as you put it, but always drawn to cut the throats of other Muslims. Let's go to Shujat, also in the United Kingdom, this time in London. Shujat, welcome.
Hello there, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Nice to hear. It's about Saudi Arabia, your question. Now, your question is, why does the West not cut ties with Saudi Arabia? Is it Saudi Arabia or is it Saudi regime? Shouldn't we talk about the Saudi royal family?
I think that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Royal family. If the royal family goes, they will cut ties. They will not kill.
Mind you, there are 40,000 of them.
Yes, and secondly, why should they cut ties? Joe thinks they are weaponized. Anglo-America is a giant military-industrial complex. They produce weapons, ultra-modern, by the dozens, by the millions. And they produce them to kill people, to kill, the Muslims. So who better do it than the Saudis, who will buy it from them? They have to create a market for the weapons. You know, I'm an economist. I look at it from that point of view. They are a giant, Anglo-American is a war machine. It's like a Wehrmacht, the present-day Nazi regime, something like that. So when they get the weapons, how are they going to market it? Where are they going to sell them? Who better off than the Saudis and the UAE people and these tinpot dictators? So they will do it because they want to weaponize and sell the weapons and create a market for the weapons and to use them to kill the enemies, to destroy the enemies, wherever the Al-Qaeda or wherever the Muslims in any way group up.
It's a bit short-sighted, though, isn't it, Shujat? You have, as your best friend, a regime which is extremely rocky, and which, if it falls, is quite likely to fall to ISIL types.
It will fall in 5-10 years, George, but I won't. I don't know about the ISIL, George, but I think you can also see the big picture that all these Muslim terrorist groups are emerging as a giant, potent Muslim force in the world, which could well turn the guns on the Zionist entity, and that'll be the day. They're made to fight each other by only a matter of time before they unite and attack Zionist regime.
I don't myself imagine that for 1 minute. But Shujat, thanks for that call. Here's Samuel in London on the same subject. Samuel, welcome.
Hi, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. Hope you're having a good evening. Greetings to you and your family.
Thank you.
Yes, about Saudi Arabia. The main reason, I believe, my take is that the oil is the main one. The petrodollars. They can't resist that. The other one that I'm looking at is also the military bases that they can put to jump off into Iran, to Syria, Lebanon, places like that. Easy jump off.
Yeah.
You know. But you mentioned something earlier that they're becoming friends with Iran. The thing is, I hope Iran doesn't become, you know, stupid about it, because they're interested in integrating Iran's financial infrastructure into the West so they can exploit it. They can get all the big corporations to come in and start exploiting the Iranian state. I hope so. So I hope Iran knows and they're aware of this and they make sure it doesn't happen. But this is the main reason why they're becoming friends with Iran, because they can actually integrate into the financial system of Iran and then exploit it.
I'm pretty sure that the Iranian leadership are not dumb, not naive, and I'm pretty sure that they will look after the interests of their republic. Samuel, thanks for the call. Declan's on the line in Southampton in England. Declan, welcome back. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, George. I'd first like to go on a little bit of a detour.
Yeah.
You were at a Hyde Park corner and you met some Palestinian children, okay?
Yes, I did, just this week.
And these embarrassments to humanity pulls you up over it, okay? Whereas it was their big day, you know, it was the children's big day, it was not your big day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They went to London, they didn't meet the Queen, but they met you, and these lowly people attacked you on that. Now, how that links in with the Saudis is this standing army. They're not an army, incidentally, of 40,000 so-called royals. They have contempt for people, the same way that critic of you meeting those little kids has contempt for the kids, not for you. Now, in Saudi Arabia, there's something like 2 million Christians from the Philippines and places like that. You know, if they try to have a prayer service or anything, they get in big trouble. These royal family. Now, where I am in Southampton, incidentally, there are Saudi families, and they play, you know, the kids play on the street with all the other kids. There's absolutely no problem, and it's great to see all the kids there playing together. But in Saudi Arabia, they, you know, behead these Filipina maids, maids from Myanmar, and so on. And then, you know, the likes of Prince Charles, first he goes on about the poor old Christians in the Middle East and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he's on his private jet over to Saudi Arabia to sell them weapons.
Doing the sword dance.
Huh?
Doing the sword dance with them.
Well, the sword would be okay. You have to go through that stuff. But he's selling them weapons that's killing people in Syria, Iraq, and everywhere else. And I just want to mention what the Saudis are doing in Yemen, because it's very important. The Saudis, they're not able to fight. They're like a big cat. And you know, you feed the cat, and the cat gets arthritis and rheumatism because you're giving it too much food. You know, it's not out hunting. The U.S. command and control is behind what they're doing in Syria. You mentioned the money and how they squandered the money. And this is the hope, I think. Because when the Netherlands won its freedom from Spain, Spain actually had a lot more money, but the Dutch used their money wisely. You mentioned Tuppenceworth. For those who don't understand, that's two English pennies. And if all your listeners and other people, if they put, you know, their minds together, I think this most evil of regimes could, if not be pulled down, at least get a very well-deserved bloody nose.
Well said, Declan. Yes, go on, quick.
One more thing. One of your fellas was going on about the Saudi Arabians are going to do this, that, and the other militarily. Besides the fact they're too rich and lazy to fight, besides that, you know, they have servants to do that for them. There's a thing called the Jesus nut, and that's what holds the rotors of a helicopter blade together. Now, when you start fighting a war, you run out of these Jesus nuts. It's the first thing you run out of, right? So you can't fly your helicopters. And if Saudi Arabia wanted more of these things to fix up their helicopters, they would have to go to the USA or Britain, which is a long-winded way of saying it is Britain, the USA, and NATO that control that horrible mafia Saud family state of Saudi Arabia. So I'll
very well
put, there, George.
Very, very, very well put indeed, Declan. Powerful stuff. Farida's on the line. She's in London. Farida, welcome.
Thank you, George. Good evening.
Good evening, madame.
I'm going to say something very terrible, but please forgive me. my prayer is that the West finds an alternative source of energy. They're already looking at shale.
They are, yeah. The Americans are no longer dependent on Saudi Arabia. Most of the oil they buy from Venezuela, but increasingly most of the energy they use, they're producing themselves.
You know what my fervent prayer is, George?
Tell me.
That the oil reserves in the entire Middle East dries up completely. And then you watch the West drop the Middle Eastern countries like hot potatoes. And then I want to find out what the House of Saud is going to do when they are no longer a part of the Western sort of, you know, vision of what the Middle East is all about. It's a terrible thing to say. I don't know whether anyone has done a geological survey of these so-called oil reserves, but they're not going to last forever.
No, of course not. And they're not going to last forever. Other people's dependence on them is not going to last forever. And they're not feeding their people. You see, the Saudi regime has 40,000 princes. Every one of those as rich as Croesus. Some, of course, much richer than others. But the ordinary family in Saudi Arabia, and this is a point alluded to earlier, we are talking about this wicked regime, not the decent people who happen to be in a country that the royal family have called after themselves. In Arabia, the great majority of Muslims there are God-fearing and decent people. And increasingly, they are not able to be fed. They're not able to be educated. They're not able to find jobs for their children who are emerging out of universities, but with no proper work available to them. So, Farida, everything changes. And although I can't go with you on your prayer, undoubtedly, events are moving inexorably in the direction of the Saudi regime's demise. Of that, I'm absolutely certain. Thank you for your call, as always. Muhammad is in London. Let's hear from him. Muhammad, go ahead, sir.
Assalamu alaikum to you, George. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Nice to hear from you.
And you too, sir, as well. Well, talking about Saudi Arabia, why don't the Western countries break an alliance with them?
Yeah.
Obviously, you said it in your speech, in your opening 5-10 minutes. Basically, because of black gold. The reason why we want to break ties with them, in 1912, King of Saudi Arabia, their father, made a treaty with King George, right, stating that, look, could I become a king of Saudi Arabia? And in return, the King George said to the royal family that as long as we get our oil, you can do what you want in your little country, right? Okay, as long as you obey what we tell you, you can do what you want there, basically. So what it is now, Saudi Arabia, it's a royal, as you said, 14,000 of them, right? The people of the country are very decent, abiding citizens, I suppose so, you know? And basically, this is the royal family are crooked, don't care about anybody else. Look, they paid $60 billion to buy ammunition from America. That wasn't to buy ammunition. That was just to keep them quiet in the crisis.
It's protection money,
exactly,
Mohammed.
Exactly, yeah.
It's basically protection money like you would pay a mafia boss.
Exactly, exactly. That's what it was, George. And, I mean, basically, that's what they're doing. That's why they're buying properties all over Britain, America, European countries. So, please, look, don't hurt us. We are spending our money in your country. We are buying all your properties. We are giving you money. End of the day, they're not going to come over here and live, right, okay? And one day they will. One day they will. Because when the oil run out, it's another 50, maybe 60 years of oil they got, right? Inshallah, I hope it runs out tomorrow, right, honestly. And then see what they... If they were selling date and sand, do you think we'd be there? No. None of the Middle Eastern country, we would be there at all. The only reason why we are there in the Middle Eastern countries are because of oil, right? And it's sad to say that God have given them, Allah have given them such a beautiful weapon, right? Or not a weapon, but a source of income, source of income, that they could make this world such a beautiful place to live in. So peaceful, so harmony with all other human beings. This is what the Prophet teaching was, that all human beings are created as equal, right? Nobody is different from nobody else. Right? But people like them, George, it breaks my heart when I see causing division and making different sects in all faiths. I'm not saying just in Islamic, but in all faiths. We are all God's human being, right? And God loves all of us, whether you are a Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Buddha, doesn't matter. He gives wealth, food to every human being. It's just us human beings are so evil people on this planet. Our greed is the worst.
Well, the greed of the Saudi rulers is, of course, written all over their faces and the rest of their bodies. Mohammed in London, thanks for that. I've got to take a very short break for a short news bulletin. We're discussing what they call Saudi Arabia and the West's relationship to it. So, don't go away. Stay tuned for the news. And, God willing, when the news is over in just 3 minutes' time, I'll be back with the second half of Comment. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. Whatever they try to do to keep us quiet, we are alive and kicking. And God willing, we'll continue to do so because we are the voice of the voiceless. We are speaking the truth that will otherwise not be spoken. Indeed, falsehood and lies are everywhere. Tonight we're talking about Saudi Arabia and the West's relationship to it. We are asking, why will the West not cut ties with Saudi Arabia? In a way, that's kind of obvious. Greed, avarice, and exploitation. But as several callers, and it's been busy in the first half, have pointed out, it's not only the money. It's the political quiescence and the use, misuse of the weight which Saudi Arabia has in Islamic affairs by virtue of where it is, by virtue of the power that they have gained as a result of the beneficence of the Lord in depositing such mineral wealth under their feet. Instead of using it, as Mohammed pointed out, to make life better for their own people, for the Arabs, for the Muslims, for humanity, they use it to make life better for themselves. Although, when I look at them, I seldom think there go a happy bunch. Do you? Isa is on the line. He also is in London. Let's hear from him. Isa, welcome.
Hello. Hello. Hi, George Galloway.
Hi.
Nice to take you.
And to you, sir. Go ahead.
My point is, with the West will only cut ties with Saudi if they find a better alternative, and the only alternative they have is the Iranian government. And if Iran becomes some sort of a truce friendship with the West during, if you remember, during the Shah time, so if they become friends, then the time for Saudis will be up. Otherwise, other option is that there should be an uprising in Saudi, and that is that seems very narrow. Because the Saudi population, I don't know what's inside them. They don't even move. They should have some sort of uprising.
Well, you know, Issa, there are decades when nothing happens, but there are weeks when decades happen. We're experiencing that ourselves in the election for the Labour leadership that's going on at the moment. So I think it would be unwise to read or interpret the apparent quietude in Saudi Arabia and mistake that for support, mistake that for love or respect for the regime. Of that, I'm sure there's very, very little. Isa, thanks for the call and your wisdom. Mohammed is in Bristol. Mohammed, go ahead.
Yes, hello, Mr. George Galloway, Mr. Godfather George Galloway. We've been in touch before. I'm really, really happy I'm talking to you right now. Just wanted to say thank you for always being an inspiration for me when I'm down. You've always taken me out of the mazes when I've been sort of lost in falsehood. Okay. I'm really happy I'm speaking to you right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. And I also, I'd like to say I'm wishing you the best of success. I hope you become Mayor of London. I pray you become Mayor of London.
Thank you.
And my kindest wishes to you and your family.
Thank you, bro.
Moving on to my point, I wanted to begin this question you put on tonight with the... It reminds me of the question a little bit in Gladiator, you know, the, tell me, Maximus, why are we here? For the glory of the empire, sir. Now, not many people, not many governments can say that they're acting for the glory of humanity, for the glory of eradicating corruption, for the glory of spreading peace, truth, and justice. In fact, many of them will only say that they're doing it for money. I mean, it reminds me of another movie, Vanilla Sky, with Tom Cruise, who even says in his movie that 99 of 100 questions are answered by money. But I want to talk about a different point. I know a lot of people have spoken about money tonight. I hope I don't want to take up too much time, but I want to speak about a different point tonight. My point is that the world is full of narcissistic people. And psychologists say that narcissists gravitate towards people they believe are superior in any way. Now, many in the Arab world have warm personalities, people skills. They're alive. They have faith, charisma. They're not one-dimensional. Likewise, in the Western world, there's many competencies which the Arab world can learn from as well. Obviously, organization, the charitable acts, humanity. So there's many things that both nations can learn from each other. But the way I see it is sometimes people are misguided but hungry and gravitate towards the truth. So they don't want corruption for themselves and their families. If you say to somebody, do you believe in Islam? They'll say, no, I'm not too convinced. But you say, okay, do you want your child to drink alcohol? What are they going to say back? Of course not. So obviously Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, these are sort of the anchors for the Middle East. Okay. Now, there is a fascination towards the Muslim world, and you've got to ask, is the Muslim world a threat? Or do they have weapons of morale construction? See, Mr. George Galloway has always had weapons of morale construction. He lifts people up when they're down. He speaks the truth. Okay? Now, the truth has strong power. The truth is magnetizing. It can be a threat if you're looking to divide and then rule for oil resources. It can be a threat if you fear because you don't understand. It can be a threat if you're defending against the human actions towards the Palestinians, if that's against your own agenda. It can be a threat if the Muslim world can have more influence or power than their, you know, different or evil agenda. Like Joaquin Phoenix in the movie The Gladiator, you know, love sees sharply, hatred sees even more sharply, but jealousy sees the sharpest, for it's love and hate at the same time. So it can be a threat if you don't understand, it can be a threat if you're fearing it, but it can also be, it can also be a threat if it's bringing out your own insecurities. Okay, but more importantly, it can also soothe and bring people towards truth, peace, and justice. And that's what George Galloway does.
Well, Mohammed, fantastically eloquent contribution, I must say, in Bristol, in the United Kingdom. Fantastically eloquent. I really couldn't keep up with you, and I'm going to listen again to the points that you were making, because they sounded quite profound and interesting to me. Thanks for the call. Aidan is in London. Always worth hearing. Aidan, welcome, sir.
George, great to see you last week.
Yeah, it was marvellous. We met at the Tottenham meeting, finally.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't recognise my voice when I was speaking to you, though.
No, I did, because your voice stays with me, because I so often find great insight from it. I'm speaking in Tooting on Tuesday, so if you're in the area, come again. Go ahead.
Great. George, Saudi Arabia, I can't see anything happening with that situation there for a long time, purely because it's a Western colony. It's part of the West. It's mainly part of America. It's Israel's biggest supporter and probably its financial backer. When the problem started coming down there, we all thought of a domino effect. You know, after Tunisia, Egypt, Syria, Bahrain, and it was coming down to Saudi Arabia. It never happened.
Not yet.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I want it to happen, but I can't see how it's going to happen. Can you enlighten me on this one?
There are many fissures within the society. One of them is sectarian, obviously. Another is geographical. The people in the Eastern Province, whatever their sect, are bitter that they are the area that is producing almost all of the wealth, but they are politically marginalized. There are generational fissures because one octogenarian king after another, making way for another octogenarian king, and each of those octogenarians trying to fix the line of succession, failing to put their own genes in pole position. And I don't think it's going to be any more successful with this king than the previous kings. Indeed, what tends to happen is that when the king is dead, everyone connected to him is politically dead also. But the biggest and most important fissure is economic, and in social and economic terms. If you have a country where the oil price is very, very low, historically low, and where you have 40,000 royal mouths to feed with bars of gold, then you're not going to have enough to distribute amongst the rest of the population. In the last 30 years, Saudi Arabia has gone from a country where virtually everything was free to one in which virtually everything is far from free, and that services that were once provided are either no longer provided or now have to be paid for by people who are earning less and increasingly likely to be unemployed. At the same time, a fantastic education system is producing scores of thousands of new graduates every year for whom there is no economic role, none at all, because the kind of jobs that would be required to absorb that level of graduate power are simply not there. As you know, Aidan, the Saudi economy functions on the labor of foreign workers. The menial tasks being conducted by people from Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, and so on, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and so on. But the highly paid, highly skilled jobs being done by Western expats who endure what they regard as hell living and working there because the rewards are so great. But the graduate Saudi boy or girl is increasingly embittered by the lack of a future which the system and the regime are able to offer them. And that's why I believe the clock is ticking for them. Paddy is in London. Let's hear from him. Paddy, welcome.
Good evening, George.
Welcome, sir. Go on.
Good evening. I was interested to see on Twitter this question about why the West won't cut ties with Saudi Arabia. And the first thing that I thought of was money.
Yeah.
The billions invested in London, 62 billion here, 44 billion there. Obviously, you know about the scandal of property being hoovered up by these money barons and then rented out at fantastically disgusting high rent prices.
Or not even rented out, just left there as a safety deposit box.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's also the issue and the corruption with BAE systems and why the Serious Fraud Office was prevented from investigating that back in 2006. So if anyone dared to touch this issue and distance our country politically or economically from Saudi Arabia, I think that that politician or politicians would face severe consequences.
Well, I'm one who has always been ready to face these consequences. I believe that Jeremy Corbyn is another, and I believe that he's headed for a landslide victory in the Labour leadership election. So keep the faith, Paddy. Everything
Absolutely.
Is changing. Everything. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Ali, who is in Saudi Arabia. And you can understand why I particularly want to hear from him. Ali, Assalamu alaikum, welcome.
Alaikum assalam. Good evening, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm good, sir. Nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Yes, that's good. I'll get straight to the point, George. The question is why the West won't cut ties with Saudi Arabia. I think the same question would be like applicable to why the West won't cut ties with Israel. Because in my opinion, basically, both regimes are serving and helping applying the West politics in the region. However, when they try to be disobedient, both Saudi Arabia or Israel, and cross the red lines that were put by the West and U.S., basically the U.S. regime is going to tell them just to be quiet and sit down and they will obey. Like, for example, we all remember the play Netanyahu did in the front of the Congress when he was showing disapproval of the agreement of the Iran's nuclear program to be signed. Then what happened? The agreement was signed already. So basically, there are limits, and the U.S. are looking for their interest in the region. One more thing to say is, like as you said at the beginning of the show, like if you have a puppet, a servant who is working for your interest, why would you cut ties? And here are some quick, strange facts about Saudi Arabia, you know. They want democracy in Syria while women can't drive cars in Saudi. And even more, they want to protect the so-called legitimate regime in Yemen, whereas they talk about getting rid of the truly legitimate regime in Syria. So I don't understand their double standards in the region. And I think the West will cut ties with Saudi Arabia only if Saudi Arabia's main goal becomes to free Palestine. That's one thing. Many of their brothers and sisters spoke about money, but actually the relationship and ties is far more than just the money. For example, the jihadists that Saudi Arabia produced, the extremist thoughts that Saudi Arabia produced, I think they will cut tie with Saudi if they run out of oil and money, and they will cut tie if no longer Saudi Arabia gives birth to jihadists and extremists who works closely with CIA and MI6 and serving their interests in the region. Finally, the question is, why would the West cut ties with Saudi Arabia? You have someone so obedient to you and rich and acts at your finger point. You tell them to jump and they ask you how high, helping you divide and rule in the region. Why will you cut ties? Absolutely, you won't. And that's all for...
that's fantastically insightful. And coming from Saudi Arabia, especially valuable. I'd now move your position. Quickly get into your car and drive to another location, just in case. Ali, thanks for that call. Let's hear from another very, very smart guy, Nuh in Algeria, whom we spoke to a couple of weeks ago and who has been corresponding with me. Nuh, welcome, brother. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Wa alaikum salam.
George, there is two aspects. There is the economical aspect and the ideological aspect.
Mm-hmm.
For the ideological, we start with the economical one. We have the Russian dilemma. We all know that the price of oil directly touch Russian economy. So they need Saudi Arabia as an ally to solve this dilemma. As logical, when there is peace, the price of food or oil or any resource go down. And when there is war, the price rise. But we see war in every corner. Yet again, the price of oil continue to go down.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
It means that the West make huge effort for that. And in this magnificent effort, they need Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia also make many deal with Israel. Some are qualified like secret, some other no, like the attack on Yemen. Saudi Arabia also was the main player in the next mega deal to change the role of mondial economy, known as TAFTA, which let me make a prediction here. It will give Israel a role model or a role leader. In the ideological side, many Muslim countries follow the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, so they kind of control this country by this by this Mufti. And Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, is a huge reserve for extremists, for terrorists, which the West also use as a geopolitical weapon. The situation may say that the West and Saudi Arabia are winning, but the bigger picture say that this relation will end in next 2 or 3 years, because you need to see Saudi Arabia as a weapon, and the weapon has munition, a date to expire. And I think the regime of Saudi Arabia is all about to reach that state.
Past their sell-by date.
Yes.
Tell me this, Nuh. How are they regarded by the man and woman in the street in Algeria? I have been many times in Algeria, but I don't often get to speak to the ordinary citizens there. Are they admired as Iraq was admired in Algeria, or are they despised?
No, I think either this or this. there is two sides. This is complicated society. There is men who see Saudi Arabia as a model. There are not who just say it as an extremist country. You can't just make a general rule.
Mm. No, but the secular Algerians, leftists and so on, will obviously have no love for the Saudi regime. But the Islamist tendencies in Algeria, which are strong, I don't mean the Takfiri revolt that was defeated, but the Islamic parties, what's their attitude towards Saudi Arabia in Algeria?
They love it. The Islamist party, they love Saudi Arabia.
Really?
They see it as a model. This is very clear.
Really?
Yes, but the young men here don't see it as a role model. Mm. No?
No, thanks for that call. And stay in touch with me, please. I need to press on because there's only a few minutes left. Martin is in London and been hanging on. Martin, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in Wolverhampton, actually.
Oh, Wolverhampton. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think that the ties between Saudi Arabia and the West will break down. I'm drawing parallels with Latin America in the last quarter of the 20th century. And if you remember, General Pinochet particularly was the darling of Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan.
And the Chicago Boys,
and he eventually became an embarrassment. But then what happened afterwards was actually that Latin America has cut ties with the West. And I think because of all the destruction that the West has caused in the Arab and Muslim world, that's what will happen. And Saudi Arabia will fall for those two reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I try to impart to such Saudis as I ever meet. I don't meet many, although the second largest group, national group of followers on my Facebook are from Saudi Arabia, which is a remarkable thing. The city after London where I have the largest number of followers is Riyadh, which is a remarkable thing. So I know that a lot of people in Saudi Arabia are listening to me. I know that. And I always like to insist that in the attacks, the criticism that we make over this regime, we are not, of course, traducing or seeking to insult the ordinary people of the country. Martin, thanks. One last call. Mohammed, in Ghana, the land of Kwame Nkrumah. I always like to end there. Go ahead, Mohammed.
Yes. Oh, Mr. George, good evening. How are you doing?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Be quick, sir.
Okay, I must admit I'm a great fan of yours, and I really like to watch you, and I pray for good life and a length life, so you can continue to do this good jihad that you are doing for the sake of humanity.
Thank you, brother.
Again, quick, with regards to the House of Al-Saud, I think there is no difference between the regime in Saudi Arabia and the Zionist regime in Israel. Mm. They, if you see exactly what happened in Gaza and what is happening currently in Yemen, you would say all of them in Kahoot, they are again serving their masters, which is the United States of America, and this is exactly what they are about to do. So I think it is very good for them to be doing this, because this will hasten their time on this earth as far as their grip on power is concerned. So their days are actually numbered, and for sure it won't take us much longer for us to see a complete destruction of Saudi Arabia. So yes, of course, God has given them all the wealth that they need, and they have to use this to help the poorest of all people. Look at Yemen. Yemen is considered to be among the poorest countries in the world, and their next-door neighbor, Saudi Arabia, is...
Yes, well, Mohammed, I need to stop you, although I've loved listening to you, because we've run out of time. You can continue the discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. It's been marvelous.
Just comment the name of the Facebook account number and just make sure the volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You can put through the phone number and we'll be back.